Psalm 146. Okay, you go with me now. You're going to have to help me read Psalm 150. So get that book out and let's go together. I'm going to read to you and then you're going to read to me. Psalm 146. Praise you, the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The end of that chapter says, praise you, the Lord. 147. Praise you, the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. And that chapter ends with, praise ye the Lord. Then 148, praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise him in the heights. And that chapter ends with, praise you, the Lord. 149, praise you, the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise unto the congregation of the saints. And that chapter ends with, praise you, the Lord. Now, Psalm 150, I want everybody to read it out loud together with me. You got it? Are you ready? Here we go. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's just marvelous. Now, the book of Psalms, they claim, was the Jewish hymn book. And it has a lot to do with music in the book of Psalms. But it's written in a way that Psalm 150 becomes the climax of the hymn book. The climax, the ultimate, the high. When you're working with music, and I heard Chase use a couple times tonight, Mater Fortissimo and all that other F&F and all. I don't know. I thought maybe it was drugs there for a minute. But Fortissimo, double term Fortissimo, triple Fortissimo, all of that stuff. And what happens here is it gets higher and better and higher and better. And we end up in a triple fortissimo in Psalm 150. This is it. And praising God is it. We need to do it. We really do. Now, folks, you need to decide in 2016 to start praising God. I'm going to tell you right now before I even pray. Praising does not come with the package called salvation. Praising is a learned process. It's like learning to eat okra. Now, when I first moved south, fried okra was good. But that other stuff, steamed okra, I never have learned to know what it tastes like because it runs down before I can bite it. But you got to learn to praise God. I said this to a guy one day, and I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me, put his hands on his hips. I don't have any here, I'd show you. But he said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I said, why not? We got a church full. He didn't want to praise God because he didn't feel good. That's the time to do it. That honestly, let me tell you, you go to work this coming week and things get a little bit rough, praise God. Don't be afraid to say it. And it starts working on you. It takes time. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't learn it at the beginning either. And it was a little bit hard. I had trouble paying my school bill because I smoked a lot and I didn't have the money. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I had trouble paying my school bill. I swept a parking lot that was 1 mile long every night of my life. In a place called, I don't remember, but East Ridge, in East Ridge, Tennessee. And I was assigned to sweep the curb. It was a mile long, a mile on each side. So I'd get down one and up the other. And when I got done, I was done. But the problem was, truck traffic was still on two-lane roads. And when the chickens came through, it looked like I'd never done a thing. And the guy that hired me said, you haven't been doing anything. I said, I've been doing it, but the chickens haven't been doing anything. And so I had my trouble. It was hard to praise the Lord a lot of the time, trying to get used to college again at the age of 23. And every other kid I looked at was 18 years old. And I almost felt old already at 23. And you just sort of have to adapt to it. And but praising God is a learning process. And I'm going to beg you tonight, no matter what you remember tonight, from how many learned something from the message this morning? Huh? Good, good. I'm glad. You were so quiet, I thought, boy. But I'm glad they raised their hand tonight. I see it. I feel better. I thought, boy, this morning was a failure. Nobody said nothing. And how many people hear messages like that? I mean, just to learn something that happened before eternity began. Amen? So I hope you got that this morning. But tonight, I want you to learn to praise with me. And I want you to remember as we go into it tonight, somewhere, somehow, even tomorrow, make it work. We sang, Beverly and I sang, The Wonder of All. How many know who wrote that? Yes, Jerry. George Beverly Shea. He wrote the music and the words to the one we did tonight. It's just classic. Let me say this to you. You need to put music into your life all the time. It's going to help you praise. Now, I'm telling you. It is well with my soul. Spafford, what did he do for a living? He was a banker in Chicago, went to Moody's Church, and he lost his girls when the ship going to England and sank with his girls, and he had a rush to England. His wife was spared. There's just so many good things. Tragedy brings triumph. Again and again, you've got to learn it. You've got to make it a part of your life, and it'll just change your life completely. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about praise. I'll tell you, I got a funny part in this thing that I really enjoy getting to, but don't you get excited. I will. And so, honestly, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us together. Lord, this is an exciting time for me tonight to talk about the thing that's needed most in 2016, an election year. We need to start learning to praise the Lord. And we just need to believe that God is in control. And if we keep praising Him, it'll give us the confidence that He knows the end from the beginning. And Lord, bless the message this evening. May it touch somebody's life tonight. We pray with a spirit of expectancy in Christ's name. Amen. Let's talk about praise. Praise is a barricade against depression. Now, I don't know how many of you are sitting here tonight with depression. And you may have medical issues that have brought the depression on. You may have a malady that is part depression. But I'm telling you, you can help yourself work out of it some by just praising God. It'll happen. I'm trying to help you tonight. It'll happen. Number one, praising God gives you an attitude of gratitude. Can you say that? Attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. You got it. You got it. You got the song. It's amazing what praising can do. You got attitude of gratitude. You got it all. You're ready to go home. Wait a minute. But somehow you need to feel tonight that if I praise God, it's not going to happen the first time you decide to get out of your slump and say, praise the Lord. I mean, I've heard some people really try when I was a student in school. Well, praise the Lord. It needs to be a little bit more of that. But you need to work toward it. You need to keep on working toward it. Don't quit. You say, well, I praised the Lord last week, and bless God, I cut a tree down and it hit me. Well, you ought to praise the Lord. You'll have to work this week. You got hit with a tree. Hey, you can always find something good to praise Him about. Amen. Honestly, so I hope that you'll think that way. But praising God gives us an attitude of gratitude. You young people that are here tonight, you need to have an attitude of gratitude toward home. My oldest grandson is about to turn 12 in a couple of months. He's about 5.5 feet tall already. I don't know what he's going to be when he's done. But he's always been the sweetest of the three boys, and still is. Don't misunderstand me. But already I see this teenage, oh, really? Do I have to do that? Now, it wasn't that way 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And when his dad said, boys, we're going to sing tonight, you know, everybody jump for joy. And Daniel's starting to slow down a little bit on it. I know what's coming. It's a dumb thing called adolescence. I realize that. I understand it. And I hope that I, with the grace of God and his help, I can beat him out of it. I don't mean beat, but I mean win him out of it. Let me help you with that. You're putting words into my mouth now. But he's a great guy. He's the most compassionate kid I've ever met. But still, I'm watching adolescence creep in. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? His little brother, 7, wants to beat him half to death. You don't want to do anything. I'm an adolescent now, you know. And so I see all of that. And young people, love your parents. You say, well, they're no good to me. They're no good to each other. Yeah, but they're your mom and dad. And let me tell you something else. You better thank God that through those parents, he let you be born in America and not Syria. When I watched those migrants going across those miles, dragging children and clothes that they could carry, I said, God, I'm so thankful you let me be born in America. I can't get over it. Why me? But he did, and I want to love him for it. Amen? And I want to praise God for it that I was born in America. You say, well, America's going to hell. Hey, listen, it's still the greatest country in the world. When I, Pat and I finished preaching in the Philippines, I remember coming home to America. Well, let me go the other way first. We were on a L-1011 flying into the Philippines with a load of Filipinos from America. We were some of the few Americans on that plane flying into Manila. And I'm going to tell you, that pilot had to come out of the cockpit and make those people sit down. They were so excited about flying to their home country. They were running around and singing and praising God. And he had to come back there and sit them down. 355 people. And it was unbelievable. Then I flew from the Philippines back to America. And the people that weren't drunk were asleep. Going back home to America. Am I right? We have the greatest country in the world. And we ought to praise God for it. I love it. I love it. And I didn't do it in high school. I should have. But I should have had a love for the faculty who was willing to teach me. Especially me. I remember in 12th grade, I set a typing teacher on the table and I said, you'll never talk to me like that again. And she was right. I was out of school. And I had a juvenile court judge send me to the Air Force. I said, I want to go to the Army. He said, you need 4 years, not 2. So I ended up in the Air Force. But listen, those chickens come home to roost. But if you'll start praising God, praise God for the parents you have. Praise God for the home that you have. Praise Him for the school that you have. I'm telling you what's the truth. You ought to praise God for the weather you have. I'm telling you what's the truth. I wouldn't be in Mississippi for anybody's money right now because I can't swim. No, I can. But honestly, it's just a mess in other parts of America. And God's given us such pleasant weather. And we have rough times. I've been through about 4 hurricanes here. And I know what that's like, but hey, it's not. I'll never forget. I was out in California, and somebody said, you're from Florida, they had all the hurricanes. I said, yeah, I come out here to get in on the earthquakes. I mean, what do you do? But praise God for your health. I'm 76 now, and I look at Buck Carr, I got a long way to go. I look at Jesse Bloom, I got a long way to go. But hey, God can do it. I was telling somebody tonight, if I live till I'm 100, that's probably 27 years after Pat went to heaven. She won't even know I've been gone a minute. And so I may as well get on and get out of this life, amen? And love doing it. Love winning people to Christ. I'm telling you what's the truth. I wish you could just read some of the letters that come to me from people that have been gloriously saved. I've had a boy to Christ in Calvary Baptist in Lakeland in 1964, on November 11th. What's that day? Veterans Day, I heard it. Norm Phillips got saved. I led him to Christ on Veterans Day, 1964. He's never missed a November 11th calling me and talking to me. And thanking God again that he was born again. I sort of, well, that's a big deal 40 years ago. But now, buddy, when he called this year, last year, I was just absolutely overwhelmed with it all. Amen. And Marvin Goke and I are classmate to your pastor, led me to Christ in 1962. I've never missed a June 26th calling him on the phone and telling him that I loved him and thanking God for being saved. But all of that adds up to praising the Lord. And we need to have it. I talk to people and I say, well, when were you saved? He said, well, I was baptized such and such. No, when were you saved? I'm glad you were baptized, but that's something you do. I want to know what God did in your life. When were you saved? And some people get offended at you just asking that question. But I'll tell you what, if you were praising the Lord, you wouldn't mind answering at all. Am I right? And like I said in the message this morning, if you're ashamed of Christ, you better check for sure that you've been saved. I've never met a saved person that's ashamed of Christ. I've met a lot of people that are a little more excited about being saved than others, but never have met one that's ashamed that is actually saved. Are you sure that you're born again? An attitude of gratitude. If you'll praise God, He will give you an attitude of gratitude that will roll you over some of the roughest times in your life. Number two, praise teaches us contentment. Be content with such things as you have. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. But praise teaches contentment. I want you to get there and take a look at this now with me. Where was Paul when he wrote this? Not a question in the world. He was in prison. But look what he says in chapter 4 and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein we were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in the respect of want, for I have learned. Praising God is a learned attitude. You've got to learn. It's a process. For I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, even Florida, therewith to be what? When my wife and I taught school here, they didn't even have 100,000 in the county. I think it's somewhere between 60,000 and 70,000. Now it's almost 500,000, almost a half a million in our county. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Those of us who are saved, we need to start praising God a little bit louder because they're coming in all the time. Am I right? And we need to do it. Look at verse 12. I both know both how to be, I love this. Don't get excited. I love both how to be abased and how to abound. Can I help you with that and give you a down home spin on that? I know how to live in the basement and I know how to live in the kitchen. That's what he's saying there. Now listen, if you're at the bottom of the food chain and you've got the poorest house in town and everything else, you can still praise God. And I'm ashamed to tell you, most of them do. But you get into $300,000 and $400,000 crowd, it's hard to hear to praise God anywhere without a lot of cussing. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am what? That's teaching again, teaching. Listen, praising God is a learned process. Teaching both to be full and to be, I know what's coming. All right, both to be full and to abound and to suffer need. I can do how many things? Listen, my friend, try harder this year than ever before to be happy. I know you're a mother full of all kind of frustration. Pastor graciously took us out to eat lunch today at the Grace. And there was enough of our table left for another family that brought four little ones. And I'm sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, the oldest one was two or three. And you know what? I praise God for a young mom and dad that'll take four kids out to eat. Am I right? And they need to be happy. I had a lady sitting next to us with two grandsons with her. She was so happy to have them. And a witness to her the whole time. She was just absolutely bewildered, actually. But she helped me a lot. And she said, "Boy, you sure are happy." I said, "I'm saved. I'm not going to say I'm ashamed. My goodness, that's what counts." Amen? Can you understand that? And we need to be there again. So an attitude of gratitude really is part of this thing of praising the Lord. And number two, it teaches contentment. Are you content? Men tickle me to death. They got the greatest car in the world till they see one they like. Then they go to their wife and say, "You know what? That front left is making a lot of noise." Am I telling the truth? No. Oh, don't hit him. But honestly, there's no contentment. We need that. Just be content with such things as you have. Then number three, praising God. Oh, I love this. Gives victory over discouragement. I mean, when you find somebody with the pooch mouth, it's a lot of fun to go up and say, "Praise God!" I mean, get excited. You don't have to look at them, but just start saying it. Get them mad as a hornet. Amen? But honestly, victory over discouragement. We need a lot of that today. I don't know what has happened to our economy. That has happened. It's been terrible to witness. And I don't know about a lot of other things that are going on in our government, and now there's such disrest over in Arabia. I don't know what's going to take place. But I do know this. I can have victory over discouragement by just praising the Lord. Amen. Who is on the Lord's side? Amen? And that's what we need. J.R. Faulkner was our vice president at school when we were there, us old people. And he was a great vice president. We loved him. And he was a movie theater salesman before God saved him. He went sold movies all over America. That was his big deal. And he came to Tennessee Temple, was just as close to Dr. Robertson as a man could be. Those two guys were interchangeable in so many things. They were wonderful guys. But he gave an illustration one day. A lot of people say, "Well, I'd rather hear Dr. Robertson preach." I'd rather hear any of them preach. I'm not going to pick sides. He says, the devil decided to go out of business. I'll never forget, 1,500 kids in the chapel. And he said, the devil decided to go out of business. And you heard kids, you know, "Amen, amen," all that stuff. And he said, so he had him a yard sale. Does every yard sale of the devil? I'm not sure. But he decided to sell all the things that he used to destroy people. And one of the tools he used, which was the most used tool in his toolbox, was a tool called discouragement. And in one day, he sold every tool off of his table except the tool of discouragement. It was at such a high price, and it looked so crummy from use. Nobody wanted to buy that tool. So the devil kept it. And he's still in business with it today. Discouragement. Boy, he got a raise and I didn't. Huh? He got promoted and I didn't. He got that girl and I didn't. You probably heard this story about the guy visiting the nut house. And he goes into this mental institute. And here's this guy running back and forth in this padded cell, calling this girl's name out. And the guy, the director giving him the tour, said, "What happened there?" He says, he married a girl named Jane. I better not name a girl. He married a girl, and she left him. So that's too bad. They went all through that tour, 3-4 hours. As they were going out, they had one cell block to visit. And here was a guy in that cell block. He was calling the same name out, running wall to wall. Bam. So what happened to him? He said, he got her. And then the last thing, I want you to remember this. If you forget everything else in life, remember this tonight. Praising God will help give you a vision to fix your focus on your part that God has for you in life. Are you understanding that? Now, how many of you love cameras? You cameras are a hobby to you. Anybody like that today, tonight? I loved it because I traveled like I did. My goodness, I had cameras coming out the gazoo. I had them strapped on either shoulder. I had colored. I had black and white. I had all that stuff. I loved taking pictures. Then my son Daniel took them over. But when I was in high school, that was terrible. When I was in high school, I already told you I had trouble with one of the teachers. It was pretty bad. But at the beginning of my 12th year, one of my history teachers said something to this effect. Any of us can become the president of the United States. Now, I never knew that to be true till recently. I like what Ben Carson says. I specialize in brain surgery. And they're busy with that in Washington, D.C. But anyway, it sort of stuck on me. And we were taking class pictures early in the fall. And I got the first coat I ever got, dress coat. It was a blazer. And it's the first one I ever got in my life. I'm one of five kids. I think I saw my brother wearing it before. But anyway, I got it, and I liked it. And I had a sock tie. You remember those sock ties? And I had to go get my picture taken. Now, I'm from Pittsburgh, and I had to go downtown on a streetcar to where they did pictures. Now they come to you, or you send them in on the computer or what. But I'll never forget. Boy, did I have a time. It was our day to go, the beginning of the ages. And so my mom helped me get ready. Now, I'd spent almost 4 weeks. I didn't eat one piece of chocolate. I didn't eat one tomato. I didn't eat nothing because I didn't want any blemishes. You remember that? Well, I got up on that morning, and I look like I've been machine gunned. I don't know where they came from, but they came from everywhere. I ran into my sister's bedroom and got her makeup or whatever you call it and tried to cover it. It didn't work. So my mom said, well, just do the best you can. Aren't parents great? Just do the best you can. And so I remember getting on that streetcar and a couple of us guys sitting together going downtown. And we went into a high-rise office building where the photographer was. Now, to this day, in almost 76 years, I've never seen the guy underneath that black sheet. It was an old-fashioned box camera. And I don't think he ever come out from under that thing. And he was calling different names and from underneath, you know. And he called my name, and I went in. They had a piano stool where you screw it down or unscrew it up to match the scenery behind it. You remember those old piano stools. So I sat down, and I showed him my best side, the one that didn't have any zits. And he's under that sheet. My mind's saying, you know what, Hawtrey, if this is a good picture, it may be famous one day when you're the president. Man, I couldn't even get through high school. But anyway, I showed him my best side, smiled real big. I had two teeth missing, you know. And sure enough, he's under that sheet. He says, turn around. I said, I don't want to turn around. He says, shut up and turn around. Your school wants everybody facing such and such a way. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, do I have to come out from under here? I said, yeah, I'd like to see you. I've sat here through 40 other people and never have seen you yet. And so I turned, and this guy had the audacity to say, smile. I mean, it's like jumbo shrimp. Shut up and smile, he said. There I am sitting on a piano bench wanting to bust him. So I gathered all the whatever it was I had and smiled as best I could. And he snapped the pictures. And he said, listen, kid, he's still under the sheet. I never had seen him. He said, look, because you sat still, I'll be able to touch the negatives. And I walked out of there going like this, you know. But it hit me. And I've kept it all my life. Touch up the negatives. So they sent what they called the negatives to our school. Do you remember what negatives were like in the 50s? They were brown. And after 6 days, phew, I'm not kidding you, boy, Mrs. What's her name? Clinton should have had that on her. After 6 days, they were gone. So they said, mark your preference. I was so angry. Again, I look like I moved some machine. I look like I had the measles. I thought, oh, man, what is... And my teeth were showing, that bad one. I thought, what in the world? And I thought, oh, I didn't even look. I just checked and threw them back in that manila folder and threw them in the file. About 5 weeks later, the secretary at the high school where I went, Moon High, can you imagine? Now, you can go to Moon High with just a little bit of marijuana. So, sure enough, they called and said, seniors are done for the day, the pictures are in. Man, it looked like a stampede. Not me, buddy. I was in no hurry to see nothing. And everybody running in, they coming out, showing me their pictures and all this stuff. Sign this, sign this, sign. I got mine. And one kid grabbed it out of my arm. I said, you're dead, you do that again. Give that thing back to me before you open it. And I went into the boys' room. They call it the men's room now. But I went into a stall. Remember all those marble walls and everything back years ago? And I got up on the commode and pulled the blind down from a window that was right there over the... Never know why a window was open there, but there it was. And I got up on the back of the commode so nobody could see my feet. You ever watch people go into a restaurant? What do they want to see? I sound like Trump now, huh? Hillary! But anyway, sure enough, I got up there and I decided I'd open that manila envelope. And my pipe dream of becoming the president was gone. Absolutely gone. I opened that manila envelope. Did I say vanilla? I meant manila. You've done it, haven't you? But anyway, I opened that envelope, and the first thing I grabbed was an 8x10. Why couldn't it have been one of those 2x3s, you know? I grabbed an 8x10. I pulled it up a little bit. The hair looked okay, pretty good. Pulled it up a little bit more, looking okay. Pulled it up a little bit more. Got a little bit of the eyes and the cheeks looked all right. Man, I was scared. I want to stop right there. But I pulled up a little bit more, and there wasn't a zit on my face. There wasn't any there. He had blocked in my teeth. Like I had the best set there ever was. I looked at that picture. I said, man, this looks great. My wife said that when I gave her one, too. But this looks great. Man, I went charging out of that men's room. Who wants a picture? Man, I was giving away left and right. I'll sign them for you or whatever. You know why? He touched up the blemishes. Did you know everybody sitting here has a blemish? Or two? Or 30? Did you know pastors have them? Pastors' family? They all have them. Even the janitor has blemishes. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That man told me to sit still and he would touch up the what? The blemishes. And he did. I'm telling you folks, if you'll praise God, it'll take care of every bit of blemish that you'll ever have in your life. It'll take care of the circumstance. You'll have a different look on your face. People will wonder where you've been. It'd be wonderful. Did you ever see a person, somehow when they come to church, their face is just glowing. And you want to ask them, so I have a couple now, where have you been? Say, I've been praying. I've been rejoicing in what God's let me have. Amen? So you've got to understand, did you know that marriages have blemishes? That God wants to touch them up. He wants so bad to do it. He wants so badly to get rid of the stuff you think is going to ruin everything. Now, I am so hurt by some of the people. Both my son and I have had to counsel with. It hurts pretty bad. It really does. Parents and children. We have more parents coming for counseling than I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable. And all we need to realize, if we'll start praising God, He'll take care of a lot of the problems that are existing in our lives right now. It just works. People with authority over you. Man, listen, thank God for them. Just look to heaven and say, thank you for those that are over me. And praise God and rejoice. Don't you think life would be different? Now look, if you're having some marital trouble right now, I just really recommend that you look at your sweetheart, maybe not here now, but say, I love you. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I was in Chicago reading the paper, and there was a article about divorce. This woman wanted a divorce because her husband never told her that he loved her. They've been married 40 years. She said, I'm tired of it. He needs to tell me that he loves me. And the judge looked at the guy in the courtroom and said, do you love her? He said, yes. He said, I'd get her a new car every other year. She's living in one of the biggest houses around here. He said, do you love her? He said, yes, I love her. He said, look at her right now and tell her that. He said, I'm not doing it. Now, that's how stubborn we get in a marriage, I'm telling you. It's not the kind of a problem that may bring divorce, but it'll keep things pretty cool until you end up sending children out of the house so things not worth being married. Now, we got to get that over with. I'll tell you what, if you start praising God, you're not going to have time for silly foolishness like that. Am I right? My, listen, God loved us when we were unlovely. I still to this day can't understand why He loved me. And it isn't that my emotions are weak because I'm old, you old baloney head. It's because the older I get, the more I understand that He did love me. And we need more of that today. Our kids need to see it. We need to see it in Sunday school instead of sitting there trying to pretend you're asleep to let them know you're bored. Amen? It needs to be. Now look, I'd love to see a host of you get out of your seats and come and say, God, it's me, oh Lord, stand in the need of prayer. But we need to start praising God more. And I'll tell you what, the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's pray together. Father, bless the invitation. We pray with a certain experience of expectancy. Bring it to us tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen.